We'll be reading from the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Our focus just on a few verses, verses 6 through 9. So please turn if you're able. John chapter 1, 1 through 18, focusing on 6 through 9. Hear God's holy word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. You may be seated. Let's pray for God's blessing on his word. Our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice that you've given us your word, that it has been read, and that it is to be proclaimed. We thank you, Father, for this passage. And though it is familiar to, no doubt, each and every one of us here, Lord, we pray that we would see again anew things that we haven't seen, that we would see again anew great truths, that we would see our calling as well to be witnesses. And so, Lord, bless us each with listening ears, and bless he who proclaims your word, that we would hear you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've seen over the past couple of weeks that John's focus in this gospel is a little bit different than the other gospels. Whereas the other gospels start with the birth of Christ, John wants to go back to eternity past and show us that Jesus is eternal, that the one who was born is no mere man. But the baby born in Bethlehem, indeed, is the second person of the Godhead. He was in the beginning with God when everything was created, but not only was he with God, he is God. Christ, a distinct person in the Godhead, but nonetheless God. And we saw stress that through him all things were created, and of everything that was created, there is nothing that was created apart from Jesus Christ. And we saw the one who came into the world, therefore, to save us, the one who took on flesh and dwelt among us, the one who came to live for us, to die for us, who rose for us, is none other than the eternal Son of God. A mere man did not die for us. Right? The eternal God who took on flesh laid his life down for you and me. That ought to amaze us every time we think about it. And last time we saw that in Christ was life. Christ is the source, of course, of all physical life as the one who created all things in the beginning. And he's the source of spiritual life as well. In him is eternal life, which, as we said, doesn't mean merely endless days, but it means abundant life, rich life. In him is life. And we saw last time as well that Christ is the light. He came into the world to show us our sin and to show us the Father. The darkness was opposed to the light but could not overcome the light. And today we're going to look at a witness to the light, but not so much the witness itself, but the fact that the witness is doing what? Pointing to the light. Now, brothers and sisters, I trust if I were to ask any of you, what is the greatest need in the world? I'm convinced that every one of you would rightly say it's Jesus Christ. That's the world's greatest need. The world is full of darkness and it needs Jesus. Is that not your greatest need? It's my greatest need. We need Christ. The law that we read each week shows us that without Christ, you and I would be going to hell. Without Christ, this world is all there is, and there'd be no hope for sinners. Now, I said if I ask you that question, I'm convinced I would get the right answer. The world needs Jesus. But what if I asked the world? What's the greatest need in the world? I'm sure I'd get all kinds of answers. I think some would yell out, "We need peace on earth. We need war to be ended." Others would say, "We need better health care. We need a cure for cancer. We need a cure for this disease and that disease." Others would say, "We need to end world hunger. Was it not the Beatles that sang so many years ago, "All we need is love"? And there are many other answers that could be given. And some things, right? We ought to rightly have some concern for. We ought to have love. But the greatest need, which the world doesn't see, is the need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, that's what the world needs. And Christ came into the world as a light shining in the darkness. And since Jesus is the light and the world's greatest need, we're looking today at a witness to the light. And two things that we're going to focus on today. First of all, the witness of John pointing to Jesus. And then secondly, we'll be talking again about the true light, namely Jesus Christ. And since our greatest need is Jesus and to believe on Jesus, it's not a surprise and it's indeed a great blessing that God sends into the world a witness to say, "There he is! Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. Now there's a bit of a contrast as we reach verse 6 this morning. In verses 1 through 5, we've been talking about Christ, the uncreated one, the one who was with God in the beginning, the one who created all things, the one who is God. And then verse 6, right, we ought to catch this quite well. There was a man sent from God. Christ is God. Christ is the light. And then a man, a mere man, was sent by God, but he's not the Christ. Perhaps I should point out as well to remind the children that John the Baptist is who we're talking about here. But John the Baptist and John the Apostle who wrote this letter are not the same person. We've got a couple of Johns here, different men. And here, John the Apostle in the Epistle of John is telling us about John the Baptist who came from God, and his task, his purpose, is to bear witness to the one who is the light, namely Jesus Christ.
Now, brothers and sisters, you know from Scripture that witnesses are important to establish truth. Right? If it comes to a court case, you generally want what? More than one witness to establish that which is true. In fact, the Bible even says, right, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1, this is the third time I am coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. And so even the testimony of Christ is established by witnesses. In fact, we see many witnesses to Christ in the Gospel of John. There's the witness of the Father and, of course, Christ himself. In chapter 8, verse 18, it says, I am the one who bears witness about myself. And the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And the works that Jesus did bear witness to him as well. John 10:25, Jesus answered, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. The Old Testament scriptures bear witness to Christ. John 5, verse 39 says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. And there are witnesses like the woman at the well and the blind man that had been given sight in John 4 and in John 9. And of course, there are the apostles who are to bear witness because they've been with Jesus from the beginning, as it says in John 15. And the Spirit bears witness, of course, too, in John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Witnesses are a good thing. And the focus here is John as a witness sent from God. In fact, the name John means gift of God. And through John the Baptist, God is giving Israel and he's given us a gift in that the purpose and task of John is to point to Jesus. And John was certainly a special and a significant witness sent from God. First of all, consider his miraculous birth, born to a couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were old and advanced in years according to Luke's gospel. And you'll remember that an angel of the Lord announced the birth to Zechariah and said that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. And children, do you remember the first prophecy that John the Baptist made concerning Christ, or his first pointing to Christ? How old was John the Baptist when he first pointed to Christ? Children, you know the answer to that? I see some people smiling. They know what I'm about to say. He wasn't even born yet, right? When Mary came to Elizabeth, both pregnant, the child within Elizabeth's womb did what? It leaped for joy, in essence, saying, there he is! He's a witness to the coming of Jesus Christ. But what I need to emphasize and stress is that John's ministry and all gospel ministry really needs to be about saying what? There's Jesus. There's Jesus. Look to Jesus. It's all about bearing testimony to the light, to that light that is Jesus. And this can't be overemphasized. True gospel ministry is about the light. It's about Jesus. It's about giving the facts, the truth, the evidence about who he is. It's about saying he is the only way in which we can be saved. It's about calling men to believe on that light that has come into the world. Show that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh, lived a perfect life for his people, died in their place, was raised for our justification, ascended to heaven, and he's coming again. It's to put on display the glory of him who proceeds from the Father, full of grace and truth. All true Christian ministry must be Christ-centered, that is, Christ-focused and all about Christ. The preaching of the Word every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, whether it's an Old Testament passage or a New Testament passage, must be saying, take a look at Christ. It must be Christocentric.
That was the focus of Paul in his ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, it says this, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So brothers and sisters, the task of witnessing or bearing testimony about Jesus that was given to the first disciples still belongs to the church today. It belongs to the pastor, yes. But it doesn't belong merely to the pastor. It belongs to the church. It belongs to you. In fact, the Ten Commandments call us to be faithful witnesses. In fact, one of the things I like to point out as we read the Ten Commandments is that whenever a negative in the Ten Commandments is stated, "you shall not," it implies the positive. The positive is also true. "You shall not bear false witness." Right? Ninth commandment. Well, what's the positive implied in that? "You shall bear true witness." So if I were to tell you that the ninth commandment has a particular focus on calling you to be a witness, did you catch that? Did you think about that before? The ninth commandment, right, calls you to tell others about Jesus, because Jesus is what? The way, the truth, and the life. "You shall not bear false witness." What should you do? Bear the truth. Who is the truth? It's Jesus. The ninth commandment calls you to tell others about Jesus. That's what John is doing here. That's our task as believers. We are to tell others the true testimony. We are to bear witness. We're to say, "There he is. Take a look at him. Take a look at your sin. Know that there's a Savior." And again, that task belongs to the church as a whole. And I trust you remember what Jesus said or prayed in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 18. "As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world." Right? You are to go into the world bearing witness about Jesus. One church I attended while at college had a sign above the doorway as you were exiting the auditorium. It says, "You are now entering the mission field." It's a good statement, isn't it? You are entering the mission field. You are part of the mission field. You're to go forth bearing testimony about Jesus Christ. You're sent into the world. And the task of John here and in verse 7 was to bear witness about the light. And that's your task. So Christ is the subject. Christ is the theme of our witness. It's first and foremost about Jesus. Are we concerned with the government in our land? Of course we are. But what are we most concerned with? Christ. That Christ be known. That Christ be exalted. Christ is the focus of what we need to do and of what we need to say. We tell people what's been summed up in the Apostles' Creed, that Jesus is God's only Son and our Lord, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, descended into hell, but was raised on the third day and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. And from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. You see, as we even recite the Apostles' Creed, what are we doing? We're giving ourselves a great gospel summary to go tell others. We're making sure that's ready, that's available in our mouths. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, "We are meant to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell them that he is the Son of God and that he's come into the world in order to save men and women. We're meant to tell men exactly why the world is as it is. We're meant to tell them about sin in the human heart and that nobody and nothing can deal with it save the Son of God. We are very ready to talk about our doctors and to praise the man who cured us when so many failed. We talk about some business which is better than others, about films and plays and actors and actresses and 1,001 other things. We're always glorifying people. The world is full of it. And the Christian is meant to be praising and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what we're called to do. And so you see, brothers and sisters, we need to look to John the Baptist and what he did, and that's our task. There's Jesus. Believe on Jesus. Trust in Jesus. In fact, what is this table telling us today, right? But to trust in Christ. Is this table not an encouragement to go out and bear witness? Because what does it say? Christ saves sinners. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's tell others." Also take note of the manner of John's ministry. In verse 8, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Right? He's not the light. He didn't come to draw attention to himself, but to say, look to Jesus. We may give a personal testimony about how Jesus saved us, but our goal is what? Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Look at what Jesus has done. There's a warning here for pastors who have become well known. I heard a story of a well-known pastor who got a call from someone visiting in the area who asked this, "Who's preaching tomorrow? I'm from such and such area, and I would love to hear you preach, Pastor." And the pastor's response was, "It doesn't matter who's preaching tomorrow. Christ will be preached. I hope you'll join us. Goodbye." And there was an elder in the church I was part of in New Jersey, where I grew up in the faith, whose custom was to pray for the pastor before the service. And he would pray like this, "Lord, hide him behind the cross." What was his point? Don't show us Pastor so-and-so and whatever his gifts or skill he has. Show us Jesus. That's what we need. Sir, we would see Jesus, right? It comes out later in the Gospel of John. In fact, sometimes I like to tell people that a greater encouragement and a greater compliment to your pastor is not great sermon. You did a great job with that sermon. No. Wow, what a great passage of Scripture and what a great Savior we have. Pastors love to hear that. Because it's not about the pastor, right? The goal for the pastor is to point to Jesus. But again, your goal as well is to point to Jesus. Now in John chapter 5, John is called a light or a lamp in that passage. But where does he get the oil from? Or let me change the illustration. Does the moon have light? Well, not its own, right? What light is the moon showing? The light of the sun. Does a Christian have light? Well, not of his own, but hopefully he's reflecting, she's reflecting that of Jesus Christ. And what's the goal of John's witness? He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. We want others to believe. Now, we're not in charge of the results, but isn't that what we're aiming for? God is glorified as we bear witness. Well, we've been talking about the witness to the light, and the point of it all is to point men and women and children to the true light. And verse 9 says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And since Jesus is the true light, our testimony is to be of him. No other light can show us the truth about God and ourselves, about life and about eternity. Now, we know that there are a bunch of religions in the world, a bunch of false religions, a bunch of false lights. The message of the gospel is completely different than every other religion. All other religions in some way talk of us getting better, of us in some way meriting favor from God. But when the gospel of the Lord Jesus truly illumines our hearts, it shows us what? We're sinners. The light shines and it shows us our sin and it shows us our need of a Savior. It shows us that we violated the law of God. It shows us that we've committed treason, cosmic treason, as R.C. Sproul would call it, against the one true God. We can't save ourselves. And so, as I said, as we began,
your greatest need and my greatest need and the world's greatest need is Jesus. You see, your sins must be punished by the wrath of a holy God. And either Jesus has taken that punishment upon himself and paid for it in your place, or you need to pay for it yourself by being eternally condemned. There is no other light, there is no other salvation, there is no other name by which we can be saved. There are many today who think that they can be saved by living a good life. That was my mentality growing up. I didn't grow up in a believing family. I was a good student. I was a moral student. Well, that's what I thought anyways. I never got involved in the partying scene, and I thought that God would not send someone like me to hell. How wrong I was. Eventually, the light shone as the gospel was shared with me, and I realized my sin. Not because I realized it, but because of the Spirit's work. And God brought me to faith. As I saw that light shining and showing me that I was a self-righteous Pharisee. And so many people in the world fail to understand their sin, and therefore they never look to the Savior. My greatest need and your greatest need and the world's greatest need is Jesus. And brothers and sisters, let me stress as well that while faith is once and for all in its effects, right? Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ will never be lost, since Christ will lose none who are his. Faith is not something we exhibit just once in our life, right? I think sometimes we might have that mentality. Well, I believed in Jesus, 38 years ago. No, we're to constantly be putting our faith in Jesus Christ. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you, right? The Christian is to constantly believe, constantly put their faith in Jesus. Its effects, and it does affect all of life. In fact, let me give you some examples. Let's say you're facing some life-threatening illness. One might think in that situation your greatest need is skilled medical care. That's important. That's valuable. But the greatest need is still Jesus. For one who is gravely ill, is it not great to know that God holds your life in his hands? And he will hold you safe for all eternity, regardless of the effects of that disease. What is your greatest need when you're on your deathbed, when you're sick? Not medical care. It's Christ. It will always be Christ. And believer, what is your greatest need when you're struggling or hurting or lacking? Is it not to know that Christ is your Savior, who never leaves you, who never forsakes you, who will never let you go, who will, if God, right, as it says in Romans chapter 8, if God gave you a son, will he not give you all things? What is your greatest need? Even in that, it's Jesus. It's always Jesus. Right? Sometimes the child's Sunday school answer is the best. Right? What do I mean by that? How many times? Those of you that teach the youngest children in Sunday school class, you ask them a question, what's the answer often? Jesus! And that might not be exactly what you're getting at, and yet at the same time, you say, great, that's the answer. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the true light. Continue to proclaim that to the world. Be like John, who was very bold and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Put your trust in him and continue to tell others, behold that Lamb. Praise God, indeed, for his grace to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lamb of God who has come to take away our sin. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son into the world. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace to us. We thank you, Father, even as we think about grace. Grace is amazing. That you would save wretches. Wretches like each of us here. Wretches like me. that we have salvation not because of anything in us, but because of what Christ has done. Lord, help us to be that witness into this world and to show others what Christ has done. Lord, bring others to yourself and use us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.